SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and we're going to be joined by Boyd Browning momentarily and talk about the life of Ashton Moynihan. And as word spread into the weekend, Ashton, who had been fighting cancer, just an outpouring of affection and sadness associated with this. Boyd Browning joins us. Boyd, good morning. I hate that this is our first visit of the new year.
Well, Steve, I do too. I usually enjoy talking with you and sharing our mutual enthusiasm for thoroughbred racing and the thoroughbred sport. And it's unfortunate today we talk about the passing of a wonderful person, but likewise, she shared a love and a passion for thoroughbred horses, thoroughbred racing, and was a tremendous advocate for aftercare. So in some ways, we can celebrate having people like Ashton who are involved and committed to our industry and are so passionate about it.
Yeah, her most recent tie was Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, and she brought a big Rolodex to that, essentially built for many years with her long association with Fasig Tipton. And how did you guys come together?
Well, I've been here over 30 years, and I honestly don't know for sure who I started at Fasig in 1988, and I think Ashton was already here associated with running Stallion Access at that point in time. If she wasn't here then, she came shortly thereafter. We were both a little younger then. I've got gray hair now, and she never seemed to get the gray hair, but, she was a people person, did a marvelous job with Stallion Access in those days, selling a lot of very expensive seasons and shares, was the go-to person in that regard and in that marketplace, and ran the company, ran Stallion Access for probably close to 15 years until the syndication world changed a little bit, and the availability and the ability to sell seasons and shares at public auction, that market kind of dwindled up as the Stallion Farms and the syndicates exercised more and more control over that product. And then Ashton transitioned to being a key part of our kind of recruiting team and coordinating a lot of inspections and trying to keep us all organized throughout the years as well. So she was just an integral part of what we did at Fasig Tipton for a long time.
Well, and you mentioned the inspection program and, building catalogs for the sales. And, I noted, the comment about, her being kind of an entry with Bill Graves, the late Bill Graves. And, we had, honestly, Boyd, the same huge response and outpouring of affection at Bill's passing. I mean, it just speaks to the quality of the person in both cases.
Well, it does, and I mean, it's a tribute to a life well lived. Was not the length of duration in either Ashton's situation or in Bill's situation. Of the length of life that any of us would have hoped for them. But what a marvelous tribute and what a marvelous reflection on their life that so many people are moved to action based on their deeds and the way they lived their lives. And that's, frankly, about as a good a tribute we can all aspire when we pass to have people want to do meaningful things in recognition of the contributions that we made.
For those in and around the Bluegrass. There's a visitation this evening, 5 to 7 at Kerr Brothers. And the service is 3 o'clock tomorrow. And that's at Good Shepherd on East Main in Lexington. And the Moynihan family asks that any donations go to TAA. There's a GoFundMe on that front to raise money. And, of course, you know, everybody is I see so many public comments. I mean, and really, the person that I heard about it from, John Parada, sent me a note. And, you know, and John, of course, has been, you know, kind of away from the breeding side for, mm-hmm. you know, for a number of years. And yet, you know, that just, you know, just goes to show. I mean, John was shaken by the news. And I wanted to make sure. I mean, this is a bit of a, you know, of an inside baseball, you know, kind of a stakeholder, somebody that, you know, worked with generations of breeder and end users, as well as, you know, as consigners. I mean, virtually worked with all kinds of people behind the scenes and you know, touched countless lives.
Well, yeah, and Ashton was, I mean, she was truly, it sounds corny, but, you know, very few people do you encounter when that everyone always says, oh, you know, Ashton, oh, she's such a lovely person. Oh, she did it. She did this for me. She did that for me. She was a great resource. She helped here. She helped there. I mean, literally no one ever said a bad word about her when she was alive, much less when she's passed. I mean, it's easy to say, well, you know, to kind of memorialize and tribute somebody when remember the good things about them. But with Ashton, that's the way she lived her life, and that's the way people respected her and thought of her in everyday situations for as long as I've known her. And you know, but the one thing that she would say to me right now, it's she'd be like in my ear right now saying, Boyd, you better plug the TAA. don't you dare miss this opportunity. I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me and feeling sad. I mean, you can feel sorry for her daughters who are, you know, I think that's, you know, at the end of the day, her greatest accomplishment was raising two beautiful young ladies. But she would also say, make sure that people say, you know, make a gesture. Don't feel sorry for me. Do something. Not just make a contribution to the TAA, but support the TAA. Support aftercare. Get involved. Get other people to understand the importance of aftercare, of why it's not optional. It's essential. It's a responsibility that we all have. And the best way we can honor her is to carry on that passion and to be a champion for a cause that was so near and dear to her heart. So I'm not gonna, when she and I meet again, I'm not gonna have missed the opportunity to say, don't feel sorry, but become an advocate, help everyone. We've all got to do more because we've lost Ashton, so we've all got to step up and help fill that huge void that she was such an integral part of. So it's my responsibility, Steve. It's your responsibility. It's everybody that's listening's responsibility to help us try to fill that void and to make a positive difference and to make a meaningful contribution to the thoroughbred industry and thoroughbred aftercare.
And the TAA has been a beneficiary of her vitality and her connection to so many parts of the sport. And it, you know, when the TAA was founded and when Jack Wolf was immediately the, you know, the face and the spokesperson, you know, to try to give it some, you know, some gravitas and, you know, give it, you know, a face, there was a system that had to be established, you know, underneath, you know, basically the underpinnings of something like TAA. And she was a perfect cog into that underpinning, because you know, it had to be given practical application. And so she was, it came at a perfect time too, because she was ready to, you know, to kind of re-engage with the industry.
Right.
So it was a perfect harmony.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and she was disarming, because what Ashton would do, she'd come in and flash that beautiful smile at you, ask you how your kids were doing, and say everything was great, and then she would go into tenacious Ashton and say, now listen.
We need
you to do this, and
at the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 years old and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100.
And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm going to Chicago, that's the last place my baby stays.
We're back at the races, and both sometimes I get knocked off the line somehow, or sometimes the phones fail us on the other end. Both Boyd and I were both knocked off at the same time, so we're both back together, and that'll serve as our last break of the morning. Graham Motion's going to join us next, and Boyd, we were in the process of trying to exhort people to donate to TAA or their aftercare facility and retraining operation of choice. And I was mentioning how, you know, when the TAA was founded, it needed somebody, it needs people, and any industry organ needs people like an Ashton Moynihan that just knows how to find the people that will donate. And, you know, there's so much about what goes on behind the scenes in this industry that are just reliant on people like Ashton.
No question. I mean, she was an immensely talented person and had the combination of the knowledge of the business and the knowledge of the people who had the capacity and the will to give, but also recognize the need and her passion for it. And the one thing for sure, Ashton would dang on sure roll up her sleeves and put on her boots and go to work. She loved being on the backside. She was comfortable on the backside of the racetrack. She was comfortable in a sales barn. She was comfortable in an owner's suite, and she was comfortable in virtually any environment and fit in well, and had that great gift of being able to relate with both people and horses at all levels, and was just a remarkable human being.
Well, one of the easiest ways to contribute, Sue Finley and the TDN have established the GoFundMe page. The money in literally 2 days has just poured in. There's just under $30,000 already raised. Sue wants to raise $50,000 in Ashton's name, and I'm sure it'll blow right through that number, and I'll send out the link. But I wanted to make sure we had this conversation, not only Boyd, can we appreciate Ashton today together. It occurs to me, I brought up this morning, that the industry lost two, real matriarchs, and I'm springing this on you without suggestion, but some thoughts about Betty Moran's passing as well.
Well, Mrs. Moran was certainly a wonderful person. Mrs. Moran, I can still remember my last real in-depth visit with Mrs. Moran was probably 15 years ago. Walt Robertson and I walked into her office there at Brushwood, and Walt was just an absolute addicted Diet Coke drinker. I am an absolute addicted Mountain Dew drinker, and neither one of us have had a cup of coffee in about 25 years. We walked in and sat down with Mrs. Moran, and we were going to talk to her about yearlings and look to the farm and so forth. And she said, excuse me, before we do anything, we're going to sit down and have a couple cups of coffee and enjoy this morning. And I can just tell you that Walt Robertson and I both sat down there and had two cups of coffee with Betty Moran and marveled at how good it was, because what Mrs. Moran said, you did. But was and you didn't ask any questions. So she was committed, though. I mean, the thing, Betty Moran, she was committed to breeding the best horses in the world and was driven to do that, was organized, competitive, had her sights set on that, and was no nonsense, no BS, let's get it done, let's breed the absolute best quality horses we can. We're gonna raise them right. We're gonna treat our horses right. We're gonna treat our people right, and we're gonna do great things. And she did great things at Brushwood Farm.
Very much, and that's that. I mean, right up until, she was 89, and Unique Bella, her most recent, big name product on the racetrack. I can recall, just seeing the Brushwood name from a better standpoint, and I think Kissin' Chris probably the one that I think of first and foremost, but it is funny that you say it that way. She was an earlier generation force of nature, but an interesting counterbalance to Ashton Moynihan. I mean, the women of the industry are a special brand, and to lose the two of them, in close proximity this week. Certainly the whole industry should sit up and appreciate, what they brought to their respective arenas.
No question about that. No question.
Boy, thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
That next time we talk, in fact, it might be in a couple of weeks here with the February sale looming. And to you and the whole organization, best wishes for a great 2020.
Well, thank you, Steve, and best wishes to you. And keep up the good work. Keep pounding the drum for the thoroughbred industry and for the marvelous thoroughbred athletes that we all get to enjoy and celebrate. So thank you for all you do.
Not at all. Boyd Browning, everybody, and Fasig Tipton. And Boyd, you know, his career has touched just so many, you know, so many people. And he's one of my go-tos in circumstances like this, because he, you know, he knows virtually everybody. And he has such a great way about himself. I mean, the way he approaches the game. We're going to stay right here. As I said, that unscheduled break between the conversation leaves us with the about 25 minutes to discuss. And Graham Motion is going to join us next. And Graham seems like he's producing a new star. And in this case, it's going to be Mean Mary that emerged. And when you handicapped the Le Previant, you know, you said to yourself, well, she's going to go out to the lead and she's going to prove tough to catch. And that's exactly the way it transpired. Graham Motion joins us. Graham, congratulations.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Thank you.
And, you know, since our other trainer guests have all, for the most part, let me think, I guess only Brian Lynch didn't have a finalist or a champion in 2020, but you did. And, you know, obviously British Idiom was going to take home the trophy, but you've got to be thrilled. And we're looking forward to sharing coming back. And you also had to be share, I imagine, in George Strawbridge's success, getting his sort of a career recognition on Thursday night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm actually surprised. I assume he hasn't won it before, the Breeders' Award. So I think I'm actually surprised he hasn't won it before. So, no, that was a great accomplishment. And, you know, anytime you can have a horse to be a finalist, I mean, I think for me that was one of the biggest thrills, was training a champion. You know, Main Sequence was a champion in Animal Kingdom. And that's, it doesn't get much better than that. You know, when you have a horse to go down in the history books, that's pretty special.
No doubt. And it's one of the things that doesn't necessarily get, I think, as much of a recognition factor when it comes to something that horsemen do. And, you know, very few trainers are going to get into a position where they themselves are an Eclipse Award winning trainer, but training champions is a special accomplishment that stays with you. And it also goes toward things like the Hall of Fame. I mean, it you know, the Eclipse for trainer invariably is sort of a business circumstance, Graham. I think you probably understand what I mean. I mean, you have to have certain numbers to get into that arena.
I think Chad probably has it wrapped up for the next 25 years, probably. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I remember when I first went to work for Jonathan Shepherd, you know, I was in awe of him having all these Eclipse Awards on his trophy shelf. And that's just not something that I think as a trainer you expect to necessarily train a champion. So it was a big deal when Main Sequence won, and also when Animal Kingdom won. I think before I'd been in the running, perhaps with Better Talk Now, in a year where it wasn't sure who would win. So no, those are great accomplishments, and a champion's a champion, right?
Very much. And it also shouldn't be lost, you know, that Structor ended up second in the voting on the 2-year-old male. And the fact that that the turf two-year-olds are shouldering their way in, elbowing their way into this conversation now on a regular basis. And I thought a case could be made, frankly, I think I was in the minority on this, but I included Concrete Rose, frankly, in my 3-year-old filly balloting. The presence of turf and the growth of turf this decade, the last 10-15 years, is a big part of this discussion.
No, I mean, it's a changing dynamic, right, throughout the sport. And I think it was the year that Main Sequence won Older Horse of the Year was when they added the category.
Yes.
Dirt horse and turf horse. I believe I'm right in saying that. So he kind of broke the mold a little bit. But you're right. I mean, it's just a changing dynamic in the business as to how influential turf racing is becoming. And what I find extraordinary is that more people don't go out looking for turf yearlings and turf stallions, as prevalent as turf is becoming in the sport.
Well, it's going to be hard to turn back this tide, too. I mean, basically recognized as the safer surface, and given some of the pressures that the industry is facing, Graham, you would think that turf racing is only going to proliferate further. Depending on what happens with the surface discussion, another generation of synthetics, that's going to end up being not just a reality, but a necessity.
Well, let's face it. I mean, turf has become a friend to the racing secretaries. I mean, the turf races still. And that's where it all stems from eventually.
Well, let's talk about some of your runners. And, of course, I'm focusing on Mean Mary, but Tauriga ran a dynamite race in the La Prevoyante as well and ended up third in here. Talk about approaching the Prevoyante, and I think, you know, everybody acknowledged that Mean Mary was going to get the lead and would have to be run down.
Yeah, I have to be honest. This wasn't originally on my plan for Mean Mary. I just got to thinking about it. We nominated her, obviously, and kind of got to thinking about it more and more, and it just seemed like it was something she was going to be able to handle from a distance point of view. And there just weren't a great deal of options out there. There was a 7.5 furlong stake on Saturday, and that just didn't seem like that was her. Once I entered, I was tickled to see that she did look like she was going to be the lone speed. And when Lewis came out to the paddock and he said, well, I'm just going to ask her away from there and kind of get her in a position, I said, Lewis, I think you're going to be on the lead whatever you do. You know, you're not going to have to ask her. So, and he did a great job, rode a beautiful race, and I think Tauriga was a little unlucky. I think Johnny wanted to sit behind Mean Mary, but he got shuffled back a little bit further than he wanted to, and he thought it probably cost him a placing. But I was pleased that she put together back-to-back two really good races.
Give us a little bit of the background here, and this is, you know, a homebred of Mr. Campbell's. She's out of one of my absolute favorite horses in recent years, and people can hear me laughing because they had to listen to me dote on Carlobi Vary a million times during her career with Rusty.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought she was a nice filly. I don't think I realized she was this nice. And I think going into the summer, she could be a major player in these, the mile and a quarter sort of classic turf races over the summer.
How about her development curve? I mean, it took a long time to get her to the races.
She was very difficult early on. And I have to give my wife credit. She was the one that suggested, you know, turning her out between her and Kat, my assistant, turning her out with Main Sequence. In order just to get her to settle down, and we'd kind of leave her out all day with Main Sequence, who was turned out at Fair Hill, and they just got along really well. I mean, from the first time we put them out together, as nasty as she can be, they had a great rapport, and we did that with her for, I don't know, 30-60 days. You know, we'd train her and then we'd put her back out, so she'd be out most of the day, and it just really seemed to settle her down, and she kind of came around after that. And as she's raced, she's become classier and classier. And she's really not anything like the project she was, because she was pretty tough early on in her training.
Well, and I don't think Karlovy, I don't recall her being, you know, having those attributes. I'm trying to think back. I certainly talked about her so many times over the years with Rusty, and I just I don't even remember the specifics of how and why I became, you know, so attached to her. But she was, you know, she was a house horse on this show.
Yeah, I don't know if perhaps the scat daddies can be a little tricky. I don't know if that's a trait, really. I don't think I've had enough of them to know.
It, you know, it's amazing. And I don't know if you saw my tweet from, I guess it was when I put out the figures yesterday. And I did note that, you know, here he is yet again with two new stake winners, Scat Daddy. Amazing. In Mean Mary, and also, in fact, you ran in the South Beach as well with the band. Yeah, Atomic Blonde. So Scat Daddy now has 133 different stake winners.
Phenomenal. I mean, what a shame.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, just spectacular.
Well, Mean Mary and Toriga go forward, and are their paths going to diverge, or do you keep them on kind of similar tracks?
I think I'll probably run Toriga back in Florida. She obviously likes it down there, and the race comes up at the end of February, and I can't remember. Is it perhaps the Orchid?
Could be, yeah.
So I'll probably do that with Toriga, and then I think me and Mary, I'll probably wait at least until Keeneland. Mr. Campbell is very partial to Keeneland, obviously, and I just feel like she's run consecutively now four or five times, and I want to have her at her best this summer. I really do.
Well, plenty of upside yet, and this is going to be a, you know, with this win, getting the grade three, this is, you know, right in the wheelhouse of Mr. Campbell's operation, and a lot more, you know, you make them come and get you, and we'll look forward to much more from both of them. Talk about that Devant for a minute in the South Beach, and, you know, this wasn't a bad effort, really.
No, a little frustrating. I think Chris had to wait a little longer than he wanted to kind of make his move. She wasn't beaten very far. You know, she's another one that we could possibly wait till Keeneland with. I think she can be stakes caliber this summer. But I don't think it was a bad effort at all.
Have you learned, you know, any more about her? I mean, you've now had a chance to send her out three times, and she's, you know, she came over from England and France efforts, and she kept good company. I mean, it feels like, you know, this has really got kind of the big Barry Irwin thumbprint all over it.
Yeah, and Barry and I talked about this after the race on Saturday, and I think, you know, we feel 7/8 could be a really good distance for her, which obviously is tough to find on the grass, but that was the appeal of this race. You know, possibly 7/8 at Belmont, something like that in the spring. I think that's going to be her style.
Very nice. Well, in addition to the racing at Gulfstream over Saturday, I got to dial back actually to last week, and a horse that I'd been tracking, probably unbeknownst to you, but Fast Master has been in my watch mail. And so all of the work and everything that was going on into the maiden breaker at Laurel the other day. In fact, I think it might have been on the holiday, right? On Monday. Yes.
Yeah, on holiday Monday. That's right. Yeah, this is a colt we've liked a lot. We bought him at Timonium. I kind of did things backwards, perhaps. I ran him up at Aqueduct going a mile on a terrible track that day in what I thought was a pretty competitive, you know, for Aqueduct in the middle of the winter. I thought it was a pretty competitive maiden. Chad won it with a nice colt coming off a layoff. So, you know, we came back to Maryland, shortened him up in distance more just because that's the race that filled more than anything, and I thought he could handle it. But he's a colt that we've always liked a lot. Obviously had some time off for an injury, but seems to be doing really well. And hopefully for Kaleem, you know, we can kind of reward his patience because, you know, we haven't gotten to race him much yet, and I think he's a really nice colt.
Well, and I was essentially interested because I was tracking. I don't know if you mentioned him or if it was because of Flashback, and I there was a sale. There was some activity that got me to more or less input a handful of Flashbacks into my mail, and so Fastmaster fell into that category, and I bet him in a couple of those spots, but then it became obvious that he was going to be a short price, and so the opportunity slipped away. But I it does feel like he's a horse that has got some, has got a future yet.
Yeah, I think he could be stakes caliber. I'd be surprised now if we've got him in the right direction if he doesn't kind of keep stepping up now.
Excellent. Well, Fastmaster coming out of the win with Wes Hamilton. And, Graham, I back to Saturday for a second at Gulfstream. You didn't have an opportunity to run in either the Pegasus events, but some thoughts about what transpired and, what feels like a coming circumstance of having to take horses off Lasix in big stake races. Any feel for what transpired?
I mean, I didn't hear much complaining from horsemen, so that has to be a positive thing, right? It just seemed like things went well. It seemed like a good day. I thought it was a good atmosphere down there and obviously positive with the handle. And, I think it was an experiment which seemed to go well, and I haven't heard a lot of negative feedback about it. So I think it's encouraging.
Well, how about some encouragement on some of the horses of recent vintage? You and I had a funny email exchange the other day, and I ended up providing you with a fig on Bee Catcher, the English Channel colt for Calumet. And English Channel has been coming up on the show all day. We started with Brian Lynch, and there was Lynchy at 35-1 with another English Channel. And Bee Catcher in the fourth start feels like this is a colt that we're going to hear from.
Yeah, I must say, I haven't had that many of them, but everyone I've had, including Mrs. Isabel's horse, Smurto's horse, Irish Straight, the ones I've had have been very consistent and hard-trying horses. So I think this Bee Catcher's kind of an up-and-comer. He's a little bit like English Bee last year, who ended up winning the Virginia Derby. Very similar type, very hard-knocking, kind of blue-collar horses.
No doubt. And, here's Lynch having authored a great career out of Heart to Heart. And Terry Hamilton goes back to the well. He bought that horse for $10,000.
Wow. I didn't know that. Good for him.
Well, he hasn't. And I think Heart to Heart was $25,000.
Well, I'm guessing they're horses that just don't catch people's attention in sales, I would imagine.
Yeah. Listen, that, he himself, what? He didn't get real good till late 4-5, right? English Channel.
I think he beat me in the Breeders' Cup.
That would have been around that time, sure. And of course, versatile and capable on soft going too.
At Monmouth that year.
Yes.
When it was so soft.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely did. And and Kieran's
he was a neat horse.
And not much of him either, right?
Is that right?
Smallish, kind of a smallish type. And he won a lot of fans, did English Channel. Graham, a couple of thoughts coming up. Anything that we need to know about?
No, we're fairly quiet at the moment. I have a filly for Mr. Campbell in on Friday at Gulfstream, Speedy Vanessa. She broke her maiden at Tampa on the dirt. We're going to switch her back to the grass on Friday at Gulfstream. So I hope she gives a good account of herself. Otherwise, we're a little quiet. Majestic Reason won up here at Laurel a week or two ago, and I'm probably going to point her for the Fritchie. She seems to really like Laurel. But otherwise, we're in a little bit of a quiet mode at the moment, hopefully gearing up for a busy summer.
Out of curiosity, is CKS Bueno coming back, or is she off to the shed?
You know, she was retired, and she's been sent to Japan to be bred. So he wanted to go out on a win, and I think it was the timing was great. So she'll be bred this year.
Nice. And I'll also ask you, because you brought up English B, Majestic Reason, who won at the end of the year.
Yeah, so she's going to come back and run in the Fritchie, like I mentioned.
Okay.
She seems to really like Laurel, and I think the timing for that is very good.
Very good. That's a powerhouse ownership pairing, Mrs. Charles and Richard Golden.
No doubt. I mean, Mr. Golden's been very good to me, and I enjoy dealing with Mrs. Charles. She's partners with Mr. Golden every year on a horse, and I was lucky enough to get this filly, and I love
that?
This filly. She's so consistent. She's so honest. It'd be nice if she could step up and be competitive in a race like the Fritchie.
Let me ask you, too, about one more horse, Blame Debbie. When do we see her next?
So she worked this morning at Tampa, and the idea is to run her on in the Suncoast on
nice.
St. Davis Day.
Very nice. So coming up, and with all the focus on sharing, here's another eclipse with partners, including Tim Thornton, who was the co-breeder. And let's circle back and talk about sharing. What's the agenda?
So hopefully I'm going to breeze the next weekend. And, you know, if I can keep her on schedule, which so far so good, she'll show up on Tampa Derby Day in the, I believe they call it the Florida Oaks, which is
yes.
the Grade 3 Mount 16th on the grass.
Well, and, you know, you're one of the horsemen that takes advantage of that, you know, the Tampa as a training site and you race plenty over there. You know, Mike Trombetta being there with Independence Hall, it feels like eclipses. I don't know if Aaron got himself a condo in Tampa or what, but he may need one.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think for Aaron, it's a good place for us to train these horses. There's a good program there for these three-year-olds, so it just kind of makes sense to be there, you know.
Well, and Mike Trombetta felt that you know, it's quiet. It's a little bit less, you know, you're a little less under the microscope, less hubbub, and everybody's always raved about it as a, you know, as a training track too. I mean, on the main, you know, as a place to, you know, you perfect winter training circumstance. You go in, you know, with a horse off of a turnout, and you come out at the end of the season with a fit horse ready for the year.
No doubt. Look, it serves a great purpose. It's a great location. It's a super track to train on. So, and they have a great turf course. So.
Exactly. Well, Graham, a very nice weekend, and it feels like you're well positioned going into the year in earnest, and we'll see you soon and undoubtedly talk soon.
Let's hope so. Thank you, Steve.
Graham Motion, everybody, and you should be following Graham. I'm sure you are. One of the most important of the social media accounts out there, Graham Motion, folks. And there you go. This was a busy, fast morning with Graham and with Lynchy, Brian Lynch earlier, Steve Asmussen, Brad Cox as well. Andy Serling joined us, and Boyd Browning to pay tribute to Ashton Moynihan. I'm going to send the link for the GoFundMe so you can add your appreciation to everything that Ashton brought to the game. And that was a passion, and you can just tell if you haven't seen the commentary everywhere. Absolutely respected and loved. Let's send you out into the race day. If you're playing today, good luck. And back tomorrow. Johnny will be home. We'll talk to him about the weekend and beat the host. John White. We'll get John and we'll do some of the West Coast. I know that Kent Sweezy is going to join us. Kent with a nice win on Saturday as well. That was in the Hooper. Fat Man with the Rat Ortiz. And more. We got a lot yet to do on the weekend recap. Replay 6 to 9 tomorrow here on Sirius XM. And Case has got to run out, but look for pod and archive later in the afternoon, 3, 4 o'clock. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.